What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about itty bitty podcasts. A podcast.
Merry Mini Monday, Chunkies. I'm Carter.
Doge and Jordan.
Sorry about that rough start on that. We had talked, we deliberated on how we're going to do that Mini Monday, and I just missed that first note real bad. Missed it real bad, but then I came back and slowly recovered and ultimately ended up winning. I love that vibe.
There was like this Jordan mirage, and it looked like Jordan was going to take that Mini Monday, but then you came back.
Guys, I don't get it.
I don't understand. We've got a few bits of news here. And Disney Plus, I'm not going to say Disney Plus is making a comeback, because financially Disney is far from that. But we do have all of these boys on this podcast seen Mando episode one, season two?
Yes,
we have. We have.
The last thing I would want to do is give away anything. How do y'all feel?
Did you say season one, episode two, or season two?
No, I said season. One? I think I said episode one, season two. I said I'm in that order.
Gotcha.
But reverse.
I have seen episode one of season and also season two of episode one.
Do we encourage people to watch The Mandalorian season two?
Big time.
Yeah.
Same here. I don't think we should. Yeah, I don't want to give anything away. I do want to say though.
I'll give you a big hint. Baby Groot's back, and he is...
Baby Groot is back.
Doing his thing, man.
Jon Favreau already had a pretty impressive budget for a streaming television show, but it seems...
As though it has quadrupled.
That at least for episode one of season two...
That budget got big.
That budget got really big.
So,
and
can I be
honest, I hadn't
thought about Mandalorian really since I turned it off last. I mean, not on purpose or anything, not because I disliked it. I moved on to other things. It's not that I wasn't excited for the season. I just, again, hadn't really thought much about it. Kind of forgot that it was coming back this year. When I started the episode and got the I looked at Callie and I was like, oh, wait, hold on. I love this show.
Yeah. I was sitting there and, you know, even though ultimately I enjoyed the movie theater experiences of episodes 7, 8, 9. And there was definitely some shining points to having that series.
Kylo.
Yes. Certain characters that we got, certain scenes, And I was thinking about Disney buying Star Wars. And if the only thing that comes from that, that honestly feels really good, is The Mandalorian, and it continues to go at this
and
pace.
Hopefully and hopefully the Obi-Wan series actually happens.
And I'm saying, like, I think what we might find is that our best stories in this galaxy far, far away are told on a TV yeah, show.
They're serialized.
Coming full serialized. Circle. Right? Because that was the inspiration for Star Wars, was the old thing, like the Flash Gordon serials and things like that. And I think Star Wars just works better on TV. I think the best things that Disney has done for Star Wars are The Mandalorian, Clone Wars Season 7. Rebels is fantastic.
Right.
Like, there's just the episodic nature of that stuff is way better for Star Wars for me.
Yeah. I don't want to take credit away where credit is due, though. I'm starting to think that anything fantasy sci-fi in the hands of Jon Favreau is going to be a guaranteed slam dunk.
He's a genre fiction boy for sure. Yeah.
Like he really is impressive.
Yeah.
If you're interested in the, like the behind the scenes, the kind of the, how they made Mandalorian Season 1, the Disney Plus, the Mandalorian gallery, it's like this round table discussion with all the creatives involved in the Mandalorian.
Taika, that to
me, yeah, I know. I think that is what pushed the show over the edge for me, from like, I liked it last year, it was pretty good, to like now understanding really what they're going for. One of the things that Dave Filoni says in that show, he was like, our whole approach to The Mandalorian is that our older brother has all the cool action figures. He has Han and Chewie and Luke. And so we're stuck with Tusken Raiders and Gamorrean guards and Jawas. But we have this one Boba Fett figure and we painted him silver because that's cooler. And so now we're just telling stories with our second tier action figures that we have. And that's exactly, to me, that's like the perfect description.
Yeah.
As somebody who grew up with some second tier Star Wars action figures, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I had all the cool action figures, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You are my older brother.
Silver spoon.
Yeah, I had a life-size Boba Fett. So.
My dad's Boba Fett.
Tamara Morrison and I just hung out all the time, so like.
This is not the end, obviously, of the Star Wars streaming content, because not only do we get the remaining 7 episodes of The Mandalorian to look forward to, the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, which is just under an hour. I'm definitely going to watch that. That's a fun trailer.
Friends,
if y'all haven't seen that, I think anytime, and it's funny that we started talking about Star Wars action figures, just the influence of, I think, toys on the movie business in general. But the fact that all of a sudden, like Legos, which are little bricks, are associated with humor when you put it into the movie realm. Like, you know, if it's a Lego movie of any kind, it's going to have a funny, pretty kitschy spin on things. But yeah, Lego Star Wars is a fun franchise to play. And so I'm excited for the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. I watched the trailer mainly to try and see if they're going to do like rip off things from
the actual one we watched last year.
the actual one. And if they are, they didn't give it away in the trailer. But
if Chewbacca's dad is not watching VR pornography, then I don't think I'm interested.
You kind of like chew on that a little bit before you decide to say it. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it because that's exactly
so good.
You're not sugarcoating that. That's exactly what happened. A few other streams that I have consumed recently, and then I'm going to ask y'all, what's streaming? Like if there's any new things.
Good.
Netflix has branched out around the time of Castlevania. There's a couple of other anime shows that they've done that I've been to an extent impressed. It's interesting to have American anime, and there's definitely kind of the OG stuff that I appreciate more. But there is a show out right now called The Blood of Zeus. I don't know if anybody has heard that.
I've seen the trailer for it,
but yeah, I binged and watched all of that. It's made by a couple of Greek brothers that went in and produced this, and the animation is super impressive. It is just, I mean, it's MA, TV MA for like gore and stuff, but it's
TV
a really interesting, really, really interesting spin on some of that. Doge especially,
I was about to ask.
You might enjoy it.
Do you think it'll make me take out my big Greek mythology book from our Hercules
episode? It certainly
episode?
Will. It had
it
me dive
feel
in.
Like
and,
it is difficult to make you take that book out.
Yeah, I'm on a hair trigger with that guy, I guess, aren't I?
Yeah. but yeah, The Blood of Zeus is 8 episodes and it's been pretty good. Chelsea and I have also been watching, Mrs. America, with Cate Blanchett. Okay. That is on Hulu. And it is about the Equal Rights Amendment. And it is super impressive. I think it's really good. You've got Rose Byrne. You've got a ton of people that are in that. But we had watched, you know, when the Golden Globes had come out, and or it might have been the Emmys, when there was just a million like acting nominations for that movie. Like literally everyone that was in that was getting nominated. We were like, let's check it out. And it has, it's not disappointed. And so we've really enjoyed that. But other than that, what you guys streaming?
I am, as far as my own solo personal time, working my way through Rebels, quite enjoying it. As far as fun. A show that we're watching together, we're going back through Schitt's Creek. Just to verify that it is in fact flawless. So far, I'm happy to report it is flawless. We're also watching through, I'm getting choked up about it. We're watching through The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
It's so good.
Very
good.
It's so good.
It's so good. I'm ready for a new season.
I am as well.
What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, we just finished back-to-back Hill House and Bly Manor, both for the first time.
I've got some other friends that are doing that.
Really fantastic. Really, really great.
Even Bly Manor?
I like Bly Manor a lot. Hill House. So we watched Hill House for the first time. Hill House was unbelievable.
Yeah. I hear that Hill House is better from almost anybody that's seen them both, but
it definitely was better.
I haven't.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I'm ready though. I'm fine. I've been like getting in the like more horror mood. I'm going through all the A24 stuff. And I think if you can handle that, you can probably handle.
I definitely think that I've seen both Hill House and Hereditary, and can say with utter and complete confidence that it's not even a close race. And if you can handle Hereditary, I didn't find Hill House all that scary. It was just so good the That's whole awesome. Way through. But yeah, so we really That's enjoyed exciting. That. And honestly, we're kind of in a holding pattern until all of the like holiday baking and stuff like that hits. We're kind of hesitant to get too invested in anything too deep. So right now
There's
we're
so
just
much
going
of
back
that
through.
Content.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So much holiday blank, whatever it is.
I can't
is.
Wait for the baking championship,
Have
baby.
Have you watched Halloween Wars?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
It actually sucks.
I don't
so bad,
like it.
But I'd like to watch it.
Yeah. I've watched several episodes and I can agree. Like I got excited to say that I've watched something you've watched and then immediately agreed with like a grimace. It's not the best produced.
But we've been going back through Harry Potter because we haven't watched it since our series on it. And so,
2 years ago.
Yeah. So Callie really, really loves those movies and I like them a lot too. And so we're on Deathly Hallows part one. That's our next one. So we're almost done.
I know what happens. I won't spoil it.
Please don't spoil it. Please don't spoil it.
Please don't spoil it. Have either of y'all seen Tenet yet?
Mm-mm.
I haven't either. And I think it's because we don't have it for stream yet. The rumor is in December, Tenet will finally come to a streaming platform.
Nice.
There had been rumors, and then I think officially Christopher Nolan had said that ultimately he was disappointed in the amount of money that it was able to make.
What?
No, theaters.
How could that
no
be?
Way. But
it was
totally
a bad idea
year.
To do that.
Yeah, he was pretty bummed about that. He was pretty bummed about that. And then I think the rest of these big blockbuster movies that keep shifting around to different dates were obviously moving because they noticed. I think it feels like Chris kind of took a little bit of a bullet here to have a big blockbuster hit the screens. And then everybody was watching closely and said, you know what? Maybe that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Have y'all heard about the No Time to Die price tag?
No.
Have
Every
we talked
month
about
costs
that?
$1 million or something like that.
Well, yeah. You mean in terms of like,
in terms of delaying it. Yeah.
Yes. And they, at this point there had been offers from streaming platforms and they had been in negotiations. But ultimately, we're asking for like no less than $600 million. I saw even one report of $400 million for a streaming platform to buy it.
Jeez.
To have it.
Wow.
And people are still, even then, are saying, people on the No Time to Die team are saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to wait a whole year or whatever it is. So,
wow.
Jeez.
It's so interesting.
Stupid. To me, it is... I get that movies are a business. I understand all of that. But to me, it's like, don't... And I'm fine. If you want to delay, that's your call, you know, delay away. But the hemming and hawing and the frustration when it doesn't work out for you, it's like, I have no sympathy whatsoever.
It's kind of a bird in the hand, two in the bush situation to me, where it's like, you could have this now. And you might have to wait until 2023 to open this on all your big movie screens.
Yeah. Right. And again, I get it. I'm not pointing a finger of blame at any production company that wants to delay a movie. I totally understand. It is the back end of the like, oh, nobody saw it. What are we going to do? We're in trouble. Where it's like, yeah, that's what everybody told you. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot of surprised Pikachu.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. I would say in some kind of relative confidence, I mean, I'm confident. Like, we're going to, for the movie watcher out there, for the big time movie fan, all these movies that you've anticipated seeing that have been moved back, you're going to see them someday. We just don't necessarily know via what platform. Many of them are shooting for the theater, obviously. But can you imagine the pressure of the people coming up with the vaccine for coronavirus? Do you know how much of a game changer that is financially for the world?
I think movies are maybe the bottom of the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
About.
I know. I'm thinking of that as like a multi-billion-dollar industry that is directly affected by if people feel more comfortable to leave their homes, much less go inside a theater with crowded, you know, seats. So it's like the world's just kind of waiting to spend all its money again, if it has it.
If the vaccine was available right now, but you had to get it in your butt cheek, would you get it?
Mm. That's probably where most vaccines have gone for me.
You're crazy, man. I would never do that.
Before this podcast turns into something completely different, which this is my fault. I think it has many times, so we can survive that. The movie world lost a legend. Recently, about a week ago, Sean Connery passed at the age of 90 years old. You know, Sean Connery had just been a part of A Star Was Born for us just very recently. I think within the last
probably in August,
few months, years. I think. September, yeah, he was back in August in the summertime. And I wanted to do just a quick Your Four, just to kind of honor that legacy a little bit. I know that maybe between the three of us, I don't know who's the bigger fan. Sean Connery feels like a horcrux of my father. And that's like the second one that I've lost in the last few, because like Andy Griffith was one. And then now Sean Connery, just these connections I had with my dad in terms of admiration for certain people. And some that I see, you know, tiny qualities every now and then that I would see of like maybe my dad had picked up.
Right.
From being like a young viewer and then having that be a part of who he became. But
Sean Connery for me is like how I feel about the Beatles, where it's like I can appreciate the contribution, but I don't consume the art that frequently.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of people too. I think, you know, some people might know, some people's biggest memory of Sean Connery, maybe not be him at all. It might be Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery on, you know, Celebrity Jeopardy. Right. You know, exactly. He's also been a caricature for a long time.
Yeah.
But I want to do a quick Your Four favorite Sean Connery roles. And I don't mind to start. And I think I'll go 4-2-1.
Yeah.
But number four for me. So he plays a character called Jim Malone in The Untouchables. And if you have not seen The Untouchables, I highly recommend. You've got Robert De Niro as Al Capone in that movie. But it's basically about this ragtag crew that's trying to bring down Capone. But this was Sean Connery's only Oscar win.
Oh, wow.
Was supporting actor as Jim Malone in this movie. So I highly recommend it. But that's number four for me.
Everybody has holes and gaps in their movie knowledge. For Carter, it was obviously Luck of the Irish. She hadn't seen that until last week. For me, it's every Sean Connery movie. I can name two Sean Connery roles. One of them I like more than the other.
That's fine. You don't have to. I would almost rather y'all just give me your top two. Like, what?
No,
did you...
I have four.
I've only seen him in two movies. I've not seen a single Sean Connery James Bond. The only James Bond I've seen is Skyfall.
That's crazy. That's the only James Bond at all you've seen ever?
Yeah.
I can give you, anyone who's interested, I could give like a little curated list of Sean Connery Bonds. You don't need to see them all, but I can definitely give you three that are worth it. That I think
I'd like that very much, because right now my second favorite Sean Connery role is going to have to be as the voice of the dragon in Dragonheart. Do you guys remember that? 1996, Dragonheart nominated for Academy Award for Best Visual Effects.
That's not Bale movie. There's a different Christian Bale movie.
Movie is not called Dragonheart. It's Dragon something.
That one had Matt McConaughey.
Yeah, that one's really fun. Dragonheart is...
I definitely know what you're talking about with Dragonheart.
Dennis Quaid is like the main human character.
Dennis Quaid.
We watched this in high school history class one time.
Why?
Because it's kind of historic.
It is sure, not.
Dragons.
Yeah. Well, it's medieval, sort of. So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, in no particular order, my first one of mine is Professor Henry Jones, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, hey, that's my number one.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah, I figured it was.
That's also my number one, TBH.
Yep. Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, I think him as Professor Henry Jones. I was talking with somebody about this. I can't remember. But when they cast A-list actor to play father of A-list actor, like you hear that phrase and you're like, money grab.
Yeah.
But somehow.
Works.
I was immediately convinced that Sean Connery was Harrison Ford's dad. And I was just cool with it. But yeah, Henry Ford.
It helped that Sean Connery's first words in that movie is when he's like, you falsified the documents and you switched the vaccines. And so it was like, oh yeah, no, there he is.
My number three is John Patrick Mason. So this is a character. And again, I've got another Sean Connery movie for you, Doge. You said you've only seen it. Have you seen The Rock?
No.
Okay. You need to watch.
I've only seen him in Fast and Furious and like Moana and stuff.
Sure. You need to watch.
I smell what he's cooking pretty frequently.
The Rock. The Rock is very likely for me, and I won't die on that hill, but this is going to be something that I will push for if we ever do another Dad or Day afternoon. The Rock is very much a TNT, like on every weekend kind of show.
They know.
A mild-mannered chemist and an ex-con. The mild-mannered chemist, by the way, is Nicolas Cage.
Mild-mannered is not a phrase I would use to describe Nicolas Cage.
A mild-mannered chemist and an ex-con must lead the counterstrike when a rogue group of military men led by a renegade general threaten a nerve gas attack from Alcatraz.
Yeah, I knew it
against
had to be
San
Alcatraz.
Francisco. It's called The Rock because they're defending Alcatraz.
Very
Ed
good.
Harris is the villain in that. And it is a blast. I mean, on IMDb, it's a 7.4. So maybe it doesn't belong in Dad or Day Afternoon. That's too good of a rating.
Die Hard has like an 8.1. It's okay.
But like John Patrick Mason doesn't give any cares. He's just there to like, I don't know. He's interesting. It's pretty fun.
Love it.
It's a blast. Any others for you?
Doge tapped his list. So I'm going to keep going on mine.
Yeah, no, I'm out. I'm out of Sean Connery roles.
I never remember how to pronounce the last name. I don't remember if it's Ramius or Ramius, but Marco Ramius, The Hunt for Red October with Alec Baldwin.
Dude, that was either that or The Rock for me, yeah. But that's great.
And I'm going to burn through my last two because yours are real and mine are not. From Russia with Love, specifically on the PlayStation 2.
yeah.
It is his likeness. I don't know if it's his voice, but it is his likeness in that game. And then I've never seen it, but the song from Workaholics makes me laugh. So Entrapment with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She dips beneath lasers.
She does dip beneath the lasers.
That's hilarious. Yeah, my last one to mention, though it wasn't my favorite role of his, was Sean Connery as James Bond. If it gives you any more influence to want to go watch a few of his early, I would only watch his early James Bonds. I think he did 5 or 6. I can't remember. Is because Sean Connery was getting so tired of the gadgets. He thought they were so ridiculous and he was like so ready to be out. He was somehow kind of James Bond purist and was like, no, this is stupid. All the Q stuff is ridiculous. Why does this fly? He's like, I'm out. If y'all do this anymore, I'm out. And they did it more and he left. but yeah, so that's our Sean Connery, your four or two favorite roles. And we've got some soul searching to do maybe on this podcast. And we've got to go do some of our Sean Connery research. Maybe.
I just got to go watch Dragonheart again.
I think we're friends.
And,
yeah. I want to find out what that other dragon movie was.
Reign of Fire.
Yeah.
Reign of Fire.
Yeah.
That's actually a blast.
That movie's so fun.
It's really bad, but it's awesome.
It's so fun.
I actually remember the CG being really great for the time period that it came out in.
When was the last time you watched that movie?
I mean, it's been a long time, but keep in mind
I probably watched
when
it like 6 or 7 years ago, and it is still so fun.
I'm going to do something incredibly cruel today. I'm very sorry for this.
No, don't do it.
So we're going to play extra credit today to end this episode.
With Xenon?
No. Oh. It's not much better. But I am going to give you the entirety of our DCOM series.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness gracious.
To play extra credit. I only do this because the opportunities you have to lose, yes, they are great and even greater maybe in an already hard game. But if you pull this off, you might thank me to even put us through this. that impossible task. You know, there's always this training montage so in Sisyphus. Some of these movies. With the mentor and the mentee.
Yeah.
Is that what our relationship is?
And they're like,
you
can't do that. But then when you finally can, when Mulan gets all the way to the top of that giant column, yes, it was worth it.
When Mulan like runs all the way up those stairs in Philadelphia.
Yes. Love you, Philly. Love you, Philly. So let's do it.
So we got our whole DCOM series.
We've got the Luck of the Irish. We've got Xenon. I always want to say Warrior Princess. It's not.
It's not.
It's a girl of the 21st century. We have Smart House and we have, which might be where you get the really goods.
Yeah.
High School Musical.
I mean, we have to, it's going to be High School Musical, right?
Like it's got to be High School Musical. We could get Katie Sagal from Smart House.
No, you got Raven and Xenon.
We could
Xenon.
Name two things. We could name Smart House and Sons of Anarchy for Katie Sagal.
Yeah. And we could get Raven from like Raven Simone, which could be good.
So that's a Raven. And what else?
Eric Von Detten seems like a slam dunk that everybody seems to be overlooking.
Because you want to use Brink too?
Well,
do you want to have our Patreon?
We are doing Brink. So, I mean,
okay, yeah, seems like, we'll do that.
Seems like maybe it
we did
sense.
Exclude. We did exclude our last Patreon episode from this game last time we played it.
Didn't we do that because it made it too easy though?
I mean, I don't know that would have made it easier, but
Hemsworth? Oh, because it had Hemsworth in there.
It had Thor in it. I'm fine to include Brink.
Let's include Brink.
Okay. That's what
who
I
do you
want to
start
say.
With?
Well, it's got to be Efron. Hudgens, it's got to be Tisdale. Efron that we start with.
Let's start with Zatch.
Zatch Efron. For those of you that have never heard Extra Credit before, it's great. It's great. Yeah, we have. I was going to say things like you're not missing much or things like that, but I was like, it's enough to. This already is enough of a beatdown for the two of y'all.
It hurts
Maybe
me.
I shouldn't it hurts my pour soul. Salt on it. But extra credit, IMDb has the most ridiculous algorithm for deciding what are the top four credits of anybody in the movie business. And so these boys take some random shots, sometimes educated shots, to try and find out who those top four are. For every credit that they guess correctly, they get 1 point. If they get all four of the four IMDb credits, they get 5 points. They can get a total of 15 points in this game, but only need 9 to win because they have 3 actors that they do this for. Let's begin with Zac Efron.
Greatest Showman has got to be up there, right?
Yeah. Yep. Let's lock in Greatest Showman.
Yeah, let's do that.
I need to hear it.
Greatest Showman, lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Yeah. Greatest Showman is the number one credit for Zac Efron.
Okay. I feel like there is going to be some weird thing in there, man.
There's going to be the one that's like
Charlie St. Cloud,
incredibly vile, shockingly
evil or whatever.
Evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredibly close.
Extremely loud close. And incredibly shocking and vile or whatever. So
what is that movie called?
I think we nailed it.
Yeah.
I think we nailed it.
Incredibly vile and shockingly evil is definitely in there. Or whatever that movie's that it's called.
Sure. Now,
Baywatch.
I don't think that is in there. By the way,
I think we've done Zac Efron before.
Have we?
Maybe when we watched Greatest Showman.
Yeah, uh-huh. Maybe. I don't think Baywatch is in there.
I don't
incredibly
either.
Shockingly loud and evil. I would
bet my entire annual podcasting salary on that one being in his top four.
I certainly would not, but if you feel that strongly, we can lock it in.
You don't know how big my salary isn't, so that might not be a very strong feeling.
Right.
You want to lock that one in?
Let's lock it in. Yeah, I want to lock it in.
Okay, I'm trusting you. I want listeners incredibly, at home to know that I'm trusting Doge here.
Incredibly vile,
shockingly
evil.
The Ted Bundy
evil.
Movie, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile.
Incredibly close. Lock it in.
Lock
bong,
it in.
Bong,
bong. Bong, bong. That's what I thought. That's what I tried to tell Jordan this whole time. I was like,
it's good to get at least two on this first actor.
You think High School two Musical's in there?
I think High School Musical would be in there if it wasn't on IMDb.
I think High School Musical 3 is going to be in there because that one was in the movie theater.
It's true. You want to do that one?
Yeah. High School Musical 3.
Sure. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing.
Nice, nice, nice.
Number two.
Nice.
Number two, High School Musical 3. You got one more guess with this boy. If you can get one of these, you're in great shape.
17 again. Did that one get big?
Ooh.
Because I feel like it's going to be one of his like comedies. I feel like Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates was pretty big, but I don't know that it was as big as some of the other ones. I do think there's room.
We totally did Zac Efron because I remember the Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates controversy of late summer 2020, where we were like, is that him or is that a Franco?
No, it's him, I think. And I feel like a Charlie St. Cloud could definitely be in there. I feel like that's a movie we would have overlooked last time.
If only there was some way for us to remember even one thing we talk about on this podcast after we stop recording.
I hit eject from my brain the second we turn off the microphones.
Me too. You lead the charge on this last one.
Okay. Let me think. Let's think through this. Let's be smart about this. What? So obviously like his biggest things are going to be Greatest Showman in the High School as far as like things he's known for. It's going to be the High School Musicals and Greatest Showman. I bet a DCOM High School Musical is not up there for Zach.
No.
And so do you think it's more likely? Because I doubt it's like a Baywatch. I really do. I feel like it could pretty easily be one of his big comedies.
Yeah, my thought is Mike and Dave or 17 again.
Or Dirty Grandpa, Bad Grandpa. We've done this exact conversation.
This is, I'm telling you.
So I would say it's either 17 again or Charlie St. Cloud randomly.
Okay, I'm good with either one of those. You just tell me.
Feels like maybe 17 again is the safer bet.
Yeah, 17 again.
But
lock it in.
Oh,
unlock.
Ooh, something in my gut says it's not there.
What are you locking in? Incredibly, you're going to lock in Extremely Vile again.
Yeah.
Extremely Wicked, Incredibly Vile.
Weirdly.
And close.
No, let's do, okay, Doge, 17 again or Mike and Dave right now, choose.
Mike and Dave.
Mike and Dave, lock it in.
Mike and Dave, lock it in.
Bong bong.
Okay.
Yep.
Number one, Greatest Showman. Yep. Number two, High School Musical 3. Number three, 17 again.
Stupid.
Yep. And number four, Hairspray.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
That's Hairspray.
Right. Big
that
one.
Also
big
happened one. The last time we played. The big oh, yeah.
I don't care for Hairspray overly, and so I think I just don't think about it.
Yeah. We've got 2 points here. We need 7 more to win, meaning that you're going to need to get at least one of these remaining actors perfectly.
Dude, who on earth are we going to choose?
You have Vanessa Hudgens, Ashley Tisdale, Corbin Bleu, one of my favorite French dishes.
Chicken Corbin Bleu.
It's just a bunch of curly hair on the inside, though. It's not your ham and cheese. You're just like, oh. We need to find 2 more actors.
So you think we can get Katie Seagal?
I think we can get Katie Seagal. I think we can get at least 3.
Okay.
Katie Seagal of Smart House?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
But let's only, so let me preface this by saying Katie Seagal of Smart House only works if Smart House is in her top 4.
I think Katie Seagal of Smart House only works if the 3 movies that you're thinking of are 3 of the 4 movies she's ever done.
2 of them are not movies.
The 3 things you're thinking of.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, let's give her a shot. So it's going to be Smart House then.
Yeah, Smart House first. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Yeah, yep. Fair enough. Okay, Sons of Anarchy, lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing.
Number 4.
Okay, now the movie with her, she plays, what's her face, Bundy, famous show.
Do you want any hints?
None?
No, when we win this, it has to be pure.
The show, does, you got to help me here. It's
you seem confident going into this.
No. I know for sure it's going to be in her top 4. She's like famous for this. She plays, I think,
but
it's
you just don't know
Peggy
the name
Bundy.
Of the show.
Right. I think it's Peggy Bundy. Hugely famous sitcom. Hugely famous 90s sitcom. And the Al Bundy is the grandfather from Modern Family.
I think with descriptors like that, I am fine for you to search those specific things. If you're not searching her,
okay,
I'm fine for you to search him to find out the name of a show because you've given enough.
Sorry, the show is Married with Children.
That's
And we're going to go ahead and lock that in.
Lock it in.
Bing, bing, bing. Number three.
Now, here's where we run into a bit of a snag. Nope, no, we don't, because the fourth one is Futurama. And I'm going to lock that in as well.
Okay. Lock it in?
Yep.
Bing, 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 bing. Number one. Yeah, she's Turanga. Turanga Leela. She's like for 14 seasons was that character.
What was her fourth thing?
On Futurama. So number one, Futurama. Number two, Eight Simple Rules.
Ah.
She's a big time TV lady. Married with Children, number three. Sons of Anarchy, number four.
Mm. Dude, I think she's actually a very talented actor, but her voice, she has a fantastic voiceover voice.
Yep.
Like really, absolutely. Really good.
Absolutely.
So who are we picking for this last one? We got to get him perfect, right?
Yeah. Yep. You want to try and bring it home with Eric Von Detten?
There is no way we get him perfect, but sure. Absolutely,
you're
I
right.
want to.
You're right. There is no way we get him perfect. But
who else would it be?
Timothy Omenson, and we just go psych, Luck of the Irish, and then call it a day.
And then two psych movies.
I mean, Ashley Tisdale, she's probably got The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. So we could try her.
Vanessa Hudgens probably has every single Netflix Christmas movie.
We could probably get close with Vanessa Hudgens, I bet.
No closer than Eric Von Detten, though.
Maybe not.
Let's do it.
Let's do Eric. Hey.
We're not going to do Raven Simone?
Don't think we could get Raven at all.
That's So Raven, Cosby Show.
What's her, the new Raven? That's still So Raven?
Is that what it's called, really?
I have no idea. Raven after all this time.
Very much continuously Raven. And after all these years, I remain.
Raven.
Raven. Raven, all the same. I don't know why that voice was Morgan Freeman, but...
Quoth the Raven, still me.
Still me.
I'm still here.
Let's do Eric Von Detten. It'll feel really good.
Eric Von Detten. Much enjoying this time.
Let's bong bong right off the bat with Eric Von Detten because it's going to be Brink! Exclamation Brink. Point.
Lock it
absolutely locking right in.
Sorry, I mean Brink!
Brink!
Locking in Brink!
For Eric Von Detten.
For EVD.
It's a bong bong. It's a bong bong. We got we have 5 points right
that
now.
That is honestly, honestly, being very real.
That's wild.
That's absolutely outrageous.
Toy Story.
Yeah, it's going to be Toy Story. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, bing, number one.
The Princess Diaries, lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 number three. I will give you another point if you can tell me his full name from that movie.
From
The Princess Diaries.
Oh!
Yeah. Just because it's Von Detten and that's Jordan's muse.
If you'd asked him yesterday and there was no point on the
100%,
line,
100%. If you had just been like, hey, what's Eric Von Detten's character in The Princess Diaries? I would have pulled it out, no problem. But now that there's victory on the line.
While you're mulling over that, we can go ahead and do your final guess, which would give you, at that point, 8 points. Meaning that if you can guess the name of Eric Von Detten's character from The Princess Princess Diaries, I would give you another point there. Obviously, extra credit win with a bit of an asterisk, but it was fun. 8 is impressive regardless.
Is he in any other DCOMs?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I was really counting on Brink being in there.
Yeah, that's wild that it's not.
I know he's done voiceover stuff for other things. I just can't think of any right now. I'm really stuck on this character name thing.
I could not name another Eric Von Detten movie.
Yeah, I'm burning out, or I'm stalling out here. He doesn't come back in any of the other Toy Stories as Sid, I don't believe.
Mm-mm. His credit's going to be like Kingdom Hearts, archival footage of Sid, or like Walt Disney's Extreme Skateboard Adventure, whatever that skating game was. Do you remember that?
Dude, I want to say that he did voice somebody in Kingdom Hearts. I don't think it was Sid, but I want to say that he did voice somebody in Kingdom Hearts. And it wouldn't surprise me if his fourth credit is some sort of voiceover video game work or something like that.
I'm fine to put a Kingdom Heart in here.
Just throw Kingdom Hearts. yeah, that feels right. Yeah, that feels good.
Yeah.
Bong, bong.
Well, I didn't lock it in, so joke's on you.
Joke's on me. Number one is Toy Story. Number two is So Weird.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I forgot about that.
Number three is The Princess Bride. And number four, he has several episodes credited for Days of Our Lives.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wow. You know, with Xenon, she's on that too.
No, General Hospital. There it is. Xenon is on.
Nope, she's on Days of Our Lives.
I mean, I'll bet you about $1,000 she's on 1,277 episodes of General Hospital.
Eric's?
She might also be on Days of Our Lives, but...
Name in The Princess Bride, in The Princess Diaries, is Josh Bryant.
Josh.
Days of Our Lives is Kirsten Storm's number one IMDb credit.
Hmm. Well, she's on 1,200 and whatever episodes of
she's also on General Hospital. Yeah.
1,200 episodes. We're not...
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Eric Von Detten is 38 years old, right? Yeah. You would think still much of a career to be had, but his credits stop about after the time he was 28 and did the Sid reprise in Toy Story 3.
Oh, I didn't realize Sid had a speaking role.
And so now I'm seeing he does have a TV series that's in post-production. But how can we get Eric back into the movie business too in this episode? I would love your name. And then I would also love, what is going to be Eric's next big thing? Because he's already had his time. And we're talking like borderline A-list actor. But let's get him back. What is going to be this resurgence? Because the young man is 38 years old.
I'll tell you what I
want. We just lost a legend at 90. We could get 62 more years of cinema from Eric Von Detten. I'm Carter. And you know what? The Robert Pattinson, much to my hopes, the Robert Pattinson Batman is going to do well. Mm-hmm. So well, in fact, that we're going to get several movies within that specific Batman franchise. And after you get to a point, you're like, okay, well, we were kind of leaning on Catwoman and Riddler and Penguin early, you know, maybe they're going to go out and get a Joker. Maybe they're going to go out and you know, grow that villain library there for that specific series. But they're also going to need that sidekick back. And even though he's 38.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to get an Eric Von Detten Robin.
It's good.
And I'm pretty excited about it.
I love that.
It's really great.
I'm Doge. They're actually going to be remastering Brink. But they're going to use the likeness of likeness of Eric Von Detten now as an older boy than he was back then. And it's going to be called Brink's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
They're going to
be remastered, coming exclusively to PS5.
Do you really throw a vanilla shake in Val's face? And he's going to be like, chocolate. Because he's old, is the impression.
And like dust and flies come out of his mouth.
Like in The Mummy. I'm Jordan. And it's pretty simple, actually. Princess Diaries 3, Mia's going to head home back to New York. And Josh is going to be there, but he's going to have a little bit of a beer belly. And he's going to be balding a little bit. And he's just not doing too great. And but he's still going to be the guy that like hangs out at all the local places. And he's going to think he's hot stuff when Mia shows up. It's going to be a really great scene. I think Eric can really carry both the comedic and the emotional weight of that moment. But without his hair, he's nothing. So we'll see how that goes.
We've got a dog ear this part. This is going to happen. I really feel like this is going to happen.
In Princess Diaries 3, specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Brink's Pro Skater 1 and 2 are both likely.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.